The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and I'm going to give you just a moment to hop on here on Facebook Live before we officially get into our particular subject tonight or this afternoon and what we're going to talk about. So we want to welcome everybody, and as you guys are hopping on here, we're going to go ahead and share this to a couple locations to get everybody notified. I know not everybody gets notified that when we are live, so we're going to try to at least send this to some groups and whatnot to get everybody on here. And again, as you guys are hopping on, let me know where you're from. If this is your first time, let me know that it is your first time hopping on here, and just acknowledge that so we can acknowledge that you are new and this is your first time to the broadcast. So this is a really this is going to be an intense prophetic update. This is a prophetic update called The Rise of a New World. We want to officially welcome our podcast audience, our YouTube audience, and our Facebook audience. Again, I'm Ricky Scaparella, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines, and it is Monday, March 30th. And maybe you're like me and all the days run together and you don't even know. I mean, it's not like the Saturdays are any different than the Sunday or the weekends any different than the week work day. Every day's running the same. I don't know how it is at your house, but everybody's getting a little bit of a cabin fever. And I'm just kind of joking a little bit here, guys, before we get into a very serious, message. So, and what I'm doing is giving everybody here on our live feed time to get on here to the broadcast. But I hope everyone is doing good. I know that you've got cabin fever. I know it's getting old. If the virus don't get to you, then being cooped up in a house and try not to kill each other or your kids is going to get to you eventually. I mean, man, you know, we don't have any dogs. We have three cats. And you know it's bad when even your cats are looking at you like, are you going to leave? Why are you here so much? Because, you know, dogs, you guys will know this. You guys got pets. You know, dogs will get around you. You know, they always want to be around you. They'll be with you. They love being around your presence 24/7 in the bed, in the kitchen, in the, everywhere you're at, the dog. But cats ain't like that. You get home from work, the cat will run up to you and it'll rub up against you for about 2 or 3 minutes. And then it's like, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. They got their own thing going on. So, you know, even it's pretty bad when even your pets are kind of freaking out because you're around so much. And if you guys are in Virginia, that you guys know that you got a stay at home order that's going to go all the way into June. And other locations in May and June, what is it? Florida just said till May. So this thing, you know, we had an Easter deadline and then now it's been pushed off to April 30th. And then some states are saying May and then some are saying June. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going on. But I want to talk to you tonight. The rise of a new world. Now, I wanted to call this something else, but I got to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. If I start putting certain words or phrases, and I know you guys have discernment and you'll be able to read between the lines here. If I write and say certain things, then sometimes the feed will accidentally or consequently be cut off or it'll be suppressed or there'll be a glitch or the audio will go out or something crazy. I've seen it over and over again. So let's get into this thing. Now, I want to preface this by saying it right off the bat that there was a couple headlines this weekend. When I read these headlines, this dropped in my spirit. So this is what I want to talk to you about. I want to read a couple headlines here, a couple stories, and then we're going to go right into this thing because I believe we're seeing a prophetic pattern. Now, if you did not watch our last broadcast, I want you to go and watch it. It was called Bruised, Battered, and Beaten, but Coming Through. There's a prophetic pattern with that I want you to see. And I believe what I'm about to show you today is an even an even greater prophetic pattern, and I believe that this thing can go two ways. I believe that either this, what we're seeing now, is a precursor to a coming attraction, or we're just going to go right into the coming attraction. So let me get into this thing. Over last week, former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Gordon Brown, listen to this story, guys, has urged world leaders to create a temporary form of a global government in order to tackle the twin medical and economic crisis caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. The former Labour Prime Minister, who was at the center of the international efforts to tackle the impact of the near meltdown of the banks in 2008, said there was a need for a task force involving world leaders, health experts, and the heads of the international organizations that would have executive powers to coordinate the response. A virtual meeting of the G20 group of developed and developing countries, chaired by Saudi Arabia, will be held on Thursday, but Brown said it would have been preferable to have also included the United Nations Security Council. Quote, "This is not something that can be dealt with in one country," he said. Quote, "There has to be a coordinated global response." Brown said that this current crisis was different from the one he was involved in, and quote, "This was an economic problem that had economic causes and had an economic solution. This is first and foremost a medical emergency, and there has to be a, quote, joint action to deal with it. But the more you intervene to deal with the medical emergency, the more you put economies at risk." So I want to tell, again, the former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Gordon Brown, has urged world leaders to, quote, create a temporary form of global government. All right. Now, this is from the Washington Times. This is from the Washington Times. There was a piece that was put out and said, and I'm going to just paraphrase this for sake of time, because we get a lot of people say, you need to shorten your broadcast. You go an hour and it's too long. So we're going to try to cram an hour's worth of broadcast into 30 minutes. So y'all need to pray for me, because I am long-winded and this is very difficult for me to do. But for the sake of trying to be respectful of everybody's time and get as much information as we can out in 30 minutes, that's what we're going to do. There was a piece by the Washington Times that said, if there was ever a crisis that globalists could take advantage of, it would definitely be the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, this is what it says. Listen to this. Quote, "This is a new world order time. Not only is America's economy crashing, not only have the world's producers come to a grinding halt, but citizens are in fear. They don't know who or what to believe. They're hunkering in their homes at the government's order. Police are in the streets enforcing quarantines. Churches have closed their doors, some of them because they face the threat of fines and court action if they don't." By the way, a mega church pastor out of Tampa, Florida, Rodney Howard Brown, had a sheriff there in Florida put a warrant out for his arrest. I don't know if you guys saw that today, but Rodney Howard Brown turned himself in. Again, I want you to clean out your ears and listen to me. Whether you like him or you don't, a preacher was just arrested. He turned himself into police and was arrested for endangering the health of citizens. This was just happening in the state of Florida. Let me read on the Washington Times. Quote, "Savings accounts and 401ks are being depleted by the day. Beaches are being closed. Public parks are being closed. The Louisiana sheriff has ordered all gun stores closed amid a coronavirus shutdown." The Los Angeles Times reported that a Second Amendment rights are in jeopardy. Wall Street profits are tumbling. Jobless claims are skyrocketing. Congress is being called to act, and they already have. So this is a little bit older article here. And I quickly to pass legislation to bail out businesses and dole out checks and save the citizens who find themselves in sudden positions of unemployment. By the way, a new trajectory came out said that we could see up to 33% of Americans be unemployed. I don't know why everybody's saying that they can't hear me. So again, I'm not sure what's going on there, but again, this will be pre-recorded. This will be recorded. If you guys can't hear us on Facebook Live that well, this will be uploaded to YouTube and podcasts, and I can guarantee you it'll be crystal clear. So I apologize for the inconvenience. Anyway, we wanted to address some of our Facebook Livers. You guys on podcasts and YouTube, this doesn't reference you guys. But anyway, 33% unemployment is what they're saying. Now let me read the rest of this. And when President Trump dares to suggest the obvious, that America needs to get back to work, get back in business, get back in the game of life, but isn't interesting, let me read on a quote, but isn't it interesting that the coronavirus is currently stripping Americans of their freedoms to assemble, freedoms to worship in church, freedoms to buy and sell, freedoms to exercise their Second Amendment rights, freedoms to live a life unfettered by a growing burdensome government. So again, what this piece from the Wall Street Journal is saying is, in case you didn't catch it, is everything is being set up for a future event. And I'm getting ready to show you what that event is and what it looks like. Everything is falling into place for this. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio recently raised some eyebrows when he came out and strongly warned religious leaders that their places of worship could be shut down permanently if they refused to comply with the city's order to stop services during the coronavirus pandemic. I don't know if you saw that, but that's in New York. And again, we said this a few minutes ago, if you're just jumping on, a preacher of the gospel was just turned himself in because a warrant was issued for his arrest in Tampa, Florida. Rodney Howard Brown, there in Florida, has just turned himself in because charges was pressed against him. Now, where is this all going? I want to show you this in Scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. That which has been is what shall be. That which is done is that what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which may be said, see, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. We just released an article today that what we're seeing unfolding with this pandemic is it is an eerie reminder of the 1918 flu pandemic. And some sources are even saying that the draconian measures that we are seeing being implemented by world governments right now is even greater than what we saw in 1918. So here's nearly 100 year cycle repeating itself. Again, that which was is that which shall be. There is no new thing under the sun. Let me go a little bit deeper here. Your Bible says that Noah and his family remained shut up in an ark. They were enclosed in a place that they had to hide themselves for a season. The door was shut. We talked about this in our last segment, our last podcast. Noah and his family remained shut up in an ark. Now, most preachers will talk about 40 days and 40 nights because they only are alluding to the time frame of the judgment in itself, which was the 40 days and 40 nights that it rained upon the earth. But I did a little bit of a study on this. Let me read the rest of this and I'll get into this. I'm going to show you this. Actually, they were shut up in this ark for approximately, and now this can be give or take, 150 total days in this boat. What? I thought it was 40 days and 40 nights. No. Watch, we're going to show you this. And when they came out of the ark, oh, come on, somebody. You got to get where I'm going with this in this parallel. When the time was up that they came out of the ark and they were able to go back to their lives as they knew it, the world that they once knew was completely transformed and turned upside down. Because your Bible says the fountains of the deep burst open and the heavens poured rain for 40 days and 40 nights upon the earth, but the waters did not subside for much longer after this event. Now, I told you 150 days. I'm going to blow your mind in just a second because it was longer than 150 days. It was much longer than that. The book of let me get a little bit of history on this. The book of Jasher, by the way, is mentioned in the Bible in the Old Testament, but it's not found in the Canaan of Scripture, but it's a book of, you can call it Jewish history. The book of Jasher, chapter 6, verse 1 says, listen to the description it gave of Noah's flood. And on that day, the Lord caused the whole earth to shake, and the sun darkened, and the fountains of the world rages, and the whole earth was moved violently, and the lightning flashed, and the thunder roared, and all the fountains in the earth were broken up. Again, this is found in the book of Jasher. It's pronounced Yasher in Hebrew, and this is a book of Jewish history. Again, it's mentioned, the book of Yasher is mentioned. I believe it's mentioned a couple times in the Old Testament. Then another book, there's two books, 1st and 2nd Enoch. The book of Enoch mentions that before the flood of Noah, that the earth actually tilted on its axis and became inclined. Now, how's that for? Now, it's interesting when you read that because there's a lot of scientists are telling you that the next pole shift is in process. The next pole shift. But the book of Enoch says that the earth actually was tilted on its axis because of such force of the fountains of the deep being broken up, the lightning flashing, and the moon and the earth being shaken violently. These are the descriptions written in Jewish history. Now I want to read this here again. I told you it was not 40 days. And listen to this. Genesis chapter 7, verses 6 through 10, Noah gathered the animals on the ark and waited 7 days. And then in Genesis chapter 7, 11, verses 16, on the second month and the 17th day, rain began to fall and Noah entered the ark with his family and he was 40 days aboard the ark. And then the waters swelled upon the earth until all the mountains were covered and all the land creatures and people had died. This was a total of 150 days. But let's go on the seventh month. And you could do this by calculating the months because it tells you this on the seventh month, on the 17th day, God sends a wind and stops the water and rain. And the ark runs aground at Arafat, and I'm thinking of Palestine or Palestinian leader Arafat, but Ararat, the Mount Ararat. This is the end of 150 days. But on the 10th month of the first day, the waters kept receding and the mountains' tops appear. So now the waters begin to recede on the 10th month, first day. And now the water begins to recede and the mountain tops appears. Now this is the 220 day mark. And then on Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 9, Noah sent out a raven and then a dove, but both returned to the ark unsuccessful. Now, again, I don't know where they come up with this, but some scholars point, some different sources point that this was a period of 40 days. So this puts it at 260 days. Then Genesis chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, Noah sends out the dove again, and it brings back an olive branch. This was 7 days after that. That's 267 days. Then Genesis 8, 12, Noah sent out the dove, and it did not return to the ark. After 7 days after that, 274 days. On the first month, on the first day, Noah remembered the ark. He remembered Noah, and he saw dry ground. There was no length of time mentioned. Some scholars put it 309 days. But on the Genesis 8, 14 through 20, the second month, 27th day, the earth had dried out sufficiently and Noah left the ark. Now think about this, guys, for a second. We know logically that there's no way that the entire earth could have been flooded to the point where the highest, we're talking about Mount Everest here. Do you know how high Mount Everest is? Do you know how high the place? There's mountains even taller than that. And there's no way that the water could have receded that fast after 40 days and 40. It's just impossible. So again, this study puts it at 364 days that they were on board. So we've got a timeline here, 40 days, 150 days, 364 days. I'm going to conservatively say that it was probably somewhere between 150 to 364 days. Don't miss the point that I'm telling you. You and I are freaking out. Maybe you're not. And I'm not really freaking out, but it's getting an inconvenience. But the Lord already, you know, I'm thankful. You know what? I'd rather be bored, stuck at home any day than be sick and stuck in a hospital. Come on, can I get an amen on that? So as aggravating and as irritating as it gets, and as cabin feverish that you get, and you get tired of this, and it gets old, and you want to get back to your normal life, just remember, you could either be sick and on a ventilator, or you could be dead. So I'm very thankful for that, and I always have to remember that. But the point is, don't miss this. It was a long time. Somebody say a long time. It wasn't a week. It wasn't 2 weeks. It wasn't a month. It was months. M-O-N-T-H-S. Months. Plural tense. Not a month. Months. A long period of time. And then, but here's what I want to show you. Now I want to get to the heavy part of this parallel that I'm seeing in the Word of God. You ready? Here we go. So this cataclysmic, catastrophic, global event, the flood of Noah, is the disaster mentioned in the Bible that went global. It didn't just affect Israel. It didn't just affect Egypt. It didn't just affect one particular nation. The entire world was impacted by this catastrophic disaster. I want you to say that with me. Say the whole world was impacted. Now you say, why am I saying that, preacher? Because this coronavirus, this disaster that we're seeing, is unprecedented, historic, and global. It's not just a China thing anymore. It's not just an Asian thing anymore. It's not just a Korean thing. It is global. It is impacting the whole world. Did you know that more than half of the world is now shut down, completely shut down? It's impacting the whole world. What's your point, preacher? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you go to the Word of God and you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon said, if you want to know the future, you go back and look at the past, and that which was is that which shall be. Listen to me really clear. There was a global disaster mentioned in the Word of God. You can find this in Genesis 7, Genesis 8, Genesis 9, Genesis 10. It all preferences, this global disaster that impacted the whole world. And when the time had come, listen to me, and the disaster had ended, Noah and his family stepped out of hiding, stepped out of confinement, and they entered a whole new world. It didn't look the same. It didn't operate the same. It didn't function the same. It didn't smell the same. It didn't look the same. And you ready for this? Again, Genesis 7, Genesis 8, Genesis 9, Genesis 10 was all in preference to the flood of Noah, or a global disaster that impacted the world. And then ironically, that Noah and his family come out on Genesis 10 to a whole new world. And then in Genesis 11, the very next chapter, here's what it says, quote, "Now the whole earth," I said the whole earth, "had one language and one speech." Somebody say they were one. "And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and there they dwelt. And then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.'" They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top is the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Now, I did some study on this. This campaign, if you would, was led and overseen by a man by the name of Nimrod. And Josephus, the historian, noted that following the flood of Noah, that society was so afraid to come off the mountains that they suggested that Nimrod build a high tower in defiance of God. And that he would build a tower that would be high enough that the flood waters would not be able to reach it again. There's a couple things in this, guys. It's so heavy. Number one, the dummy must have not got the word that God said, "I will make a covenant with the earth and I will never destroy it again by a flood." And this is why he put the rainbow that you see in the sky. Half of the rainbow is here on earth for us as the earth and its creation to see half the promise here. But the other half of the rainbow is in heaven and it comes up before the throne room of God. So God is sitting on his throne. He sees the rainbow and he remembers the covenant that he made with all mankind and says, "I will never destroy the earth again by a flood." So not only does he see the perspective of the covenant that he made with earth, but we on this side of heaven, on this side of the earth, we see the rainbow and we say, "Thank you, Lord, that you'll, no matter how bad it rains, no matter how bad it gets, it will never destroy the earth again of a flood." But watch this. But when there is a global disaster that is unprecedented, that's never been seen by a generation, listen to what I'm saying. It's never been seen, never been felt. Do you know that this pandemic that we're seeing is a once in a lifetime event? We as a generation have never seen anything like this before. I know people that have seen world, they've been in Vietnam, they've been through wars, and they will tell me, they have sat and told me, even back then when it was that bad, we have never seen anything like this. Is unprecedented. And guys, the longer, I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me, the longer this thing gets, the more severity it gets, the more freedoms are taken from us, the more the worse it gets, the more fear is going to grip people. And I'm going to tell you something. When fear begins to grip people's hearts, here comes pandemonium. Here comes hysteria. Here comes anxiety. And people will do whatever they have to do. They will surrender whatever rights they need to surrender in the name of safety, in the name of a cause, in the name of whatever they got to do to assure that we never get to that point again. And here you have a society that their ancestors was wiped out by a global disaster that wiped them out, killed them, wiped them out, except for Noah and his family. And they're sitting around and they say, we heard about this great deluge that wiped out the whole face of the earth, and we are going to do whatever it takes to not allow this to happen again. So in defiance of God, because it was God who sent the flood, they said, in defiance of God Almighty, we are going to come together and build this tower and erect it so high that no matter what judgment he tries to send, no matter what chastisement he tries to wake us up with, no matter what he tries to do to get our attention, it can't reach us. It won't touch us. We're going to call the shots. We're going to form a new world order. By the way, in case you didn't catch it, this is the first reference in the Bible to a new world order. But verse 5 of Genesis 11 says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they've all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So even God himself acknowledged the power of unity and agreement, even if it's something in defiance against him. So God himself had to step in and break this up. My goodness, guys. Listen, it says in verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from all over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, to this day, it was called Babel. The word Babel, meaning confusion. What's interesting, it also derives from a Greek ancient Akkadian language, meaning gate of the God. And many scholars, I don't have time to get into this because this will go way too... I told y'all going to pray for me because I can't get all this in 30 minutes. But some scholars point out that this location, the plains of Shinar, is actually in Iraq. And this is where they call this the very seat of Satan. And they believe where every form of false religion was birthed out of. And this is the location. In the book of Revelation, it says, I know, he talks about where the seat of Satan is. And some point to this place, this very location. And by the way, I believe, and I'm going to show you that in just a minute, but I believe this is also the same area where ancient Babylon that you read about in the book of Daniel, that's where that existed, and that is going to be resurrected in the days to come, or as we get closer to this. Again, the Tower of Babel was the first depiction of a global government depicted in the Word of God. Whew. All right. So again, Ecclesiastes 1 and 2. What does it say? That which what? Was is that which shall be. Again, history's all going to repeat itself. In Perry Stone's Hebraic Old Testament Study Bible, I'm going to read this. There's a passage in the Old Testament. He puts this out, and I'm going to read this. He put a whole note in here, and he pointed this out. I remember this years ago. He pointed this out. So I'm going to give credit to who credit is due. But I'm going to read this real quick. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22, listen to this parallel. Genesis chapter 1, the heavens are newly created. Revelation 21, 22, they said there will be a new heaven. And I'm going to go back and forth here. There will be the earth. There was a new earth. Or the earth was created. There will be a new earth. There was a tree of life in the garden. There will be a tree of life in the New Jerusalem. There was rivers flowing in the garden. There's a river called there's a river of life in the New Jerusalem. There was no sin existed in the Garden of Eden. There will be no sin that will exist in a new heavens and a new earth. There was no pain in the garden. There will be no pain existing on the new heaven and new earth. There will be no sorrow in the garden. There will be no sorrow in the new earth. There, God walked among men. God will walk among men again. There was an angel that guarded the gate in the book of Genesis in the Old Testament. In the creation, angels will guard the gates of the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, 22. There will be no death that existed in the garden. There was no death that existed in the garden of Genesis chapter 1. There will be no death that takes place in the new earth. There was no curse on the earth prior, and there will be no one exist on a new heaven and new earth. So how do you like that parallel? So again, and I thought about this. Even in our own money, when you pick up your money, this is a $1 bill. You see this? Everybody knows this. See this pyramid right here? And it's got the all-seeing eye at the top. When we look at the pyramid with all-seeing eye on the back of our currency, we see a picture of what I believe the enemy has been orchestrating, and he's been planning, and he's been plotting, and he's been trying to bring to fruition for thousands of years. According to an essay published by the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia, the seal on the dollar bill was designed in the late 18th century by Secretary of the Continental Congress, Charles Thompson. The unfinished pyramid, right here, was meant to represent the strength and longevity of the, quote, new nation, with the eye of providence, a popular symbol at that time showing that good fortune was watching over this fledging republic. The eagle-eyed will have noticed that there are 13 rows of blocks leading to the top. And I don't have, guys, we could go, I mean, this rabbit trail could go way deep, and I'm not going to go there. Representing the 13 original colonies, some tie it to Masonic, Freemason, Illuminati. We're not going to go in that deep, deep, deep hole. The image is topped with the words, and I don't even know, Anuit Coptus, I believe it's how you pronounce it, and I probably totally slaughtered that, roughly meaning providence has favored or undertakings. And then at the bottom here, it says, and Novus Ordo Seclorum, or a quote, listen to me, a new order of the ages, signifying the dawning of a new form of government. And of course, at the base of the pyramid is engraving, there's these Roman numerals, which is 1776. So you say, what's your point? Guys, listen. In case you didn't catch this, let's recap this before we go on. There was a disaster that impacted the whole world. And when it eventually subsided, and this will, when it eventually was over, the world itself changed. It was not the same. It didn't look the same. It didn't operate the same. It was a new world. In the book of Genesis, read it. Genesis 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There was a global government formed. After a global disaster. Now, isn't it interesting that I'm going to read, this is from Forbes website. Before I go in here to this website or to this article, we talked about how they were sanitizing cash. Some places were even burning cash because the virus can be spread by through transmission of paper dollar bills and currency. And so there's just been this push for cashless interaction and transactions. But here's the interesting. This is an actual headline from Forbes. So this is not fake news. Coronavirus stimulus, by the way, they already passed this, and nobody knows what the heck is totally in this thing because they just rushed it through, nobody read it, and it was passed straight through. So we don't even know all the details in the writing. Coronavirus stimulus ordered by House Financial Services Committee creates new digital dollar. Quote, as the markets continue to drop and the U.S. looks to Congress for agreement. Again, this is past tense. This is an older article. They've already passed this. As the Congress for agreement on a massive stimulus package to save the economy from impacts of the coronavirus pandemic, the newest offer by the House Democrats includes a very forward-looking kind of stimulus. Quote, the creation of a digital dollar and the establishment of digital dollar wallets. Signaling, listen to this, in what will send shockwaves through the cryptocurrency and the blockchain industry, particularly for those following central bank digital currencies around the world, this signals the U.S. is serious in establishing the infrastructure for a central bank digital currency. Wow. Where is this going? We're about to talk about it. See, I told you the enemy... Remember, I told you the enemy for a long time, the enemy has been in motion. He's been planning, he's been plotting, he's been perpetrating to carry out his agenda. Listen, Satan always wanted his own government from the beginning. You can go study this in the book of Ezekiel, the book of Isaiah. He says, I will exalt my throne above God. I will make myself like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. There were seven I wills. I will do this. I will do that. It was defiance against God. And then he got thrown out of heaven. So he can't set up his government in heaven. So he's using and orchestrating and working through men on earth to try to set up his own government on earth. And can I tell you something? He will eventually achieve it. And you can find it in the book of Daniel, and you can find it in the book of Revelation. And I'm going to tell you, he was working through a man by Adolf Hitler. Who you think inspired Hitler to kill millions of Jews and try to take over the world? Hello? Hitler was just a pawn of a bigger picture. But it goes back even farther. I can show you in the book of Daniel chapter 3 where a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who was influenced by Satan to erect an image of gold. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 2, it says that Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up in Babylon. So he set an order. And he said to you, it's commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, the symphony, with all kinds of music, you will fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever defies the order and does not get down and not worship it will be met with being cast into the fiery burning furnace. Read it, Daniel chapter 3. And by the way, in case you didn't get it, that's an absolute parallel. There's an image with men worshiping it in Daniel chapter 3. There's an image in Revelation 13, 14, and 15 called an image of the beast that the false prophet will work hand in hand with the Antichrist. He will erect an image. It's the false prophet that creates this image. He erects this image. He causes it both to live and breathe and speak. And he commands those to worship this image, and it will be dedicated to the beast, which is the Antichrist. The image in Daniel chapter 3 is 60 cubits by 6 cubits. And the number of the beast is 666, Revelation 13, 18. Those that refuse to worship the image of the beast are killed, Revelation chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. And those who refuse to worship the image of the beast in Revelation 13, 15 will be beheaded. The furnace, Revelation, listen to this, guys. This is so powerful. Daniel chapter 3, the furnace is heated seven times hotter. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 19, this is what it says. And in Revelation 11, 2, Revelation 13, 5, the tribulation is a period of 7 years, which is the wrath of God. Daniel chapter 3, verses 23 through 25, you'll discover that three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refuse to worship the beast or cast into the furnace. These men survive the fire and they live. In Revelation chapter 7, there'll be a remnant that will go through the tribulation and they will survive. And then last but not least, Revelation or Daniel chapter 3, the enemies are thrown into the fire. Come on, remember it backfired on Nebuchadnezzar and it burned all the guards up. Daniel chapter 3 verses 20 through 22. And you find in Revelation 19, the beast and the false prophet are the ones who end up getting cast into the fire. Come on, somebody. Then I'm telling you, all this is coming down the pipe. All this is coming. It's all leading up. Every bit of this is leading up to Revelation 13, 16 through 17. Somehow, we've read about it for years. We've talked about it for years. We've preached about it. We've had sermons about it. We've had study guides about it. We've had prophetic conferences centered around it. And we've always wondered how, when, who's going to be the generation that sees Revelation 13, 16 through 17. The Bible says there's going to be a global government. And this government that will be instituted will be run, operated, and ran and officiated by two men, the Antichrist and the false prophet. And the Bible says, and read it in your Bible, Revelation 13, 16, the false prophet causes all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave. That's every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth, global, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that they will not be able to neither buy or sell except they have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Right there in Revelation 13, 16, and 17. For years, we couldn't figure out how it was going to happen. Was it through barcodes? Was it through this? Was it through that? But again, we're getting closer, and we're getting closer, and we're getting closer. And I'm about to close right here. How long have I been on here? I don't even know how long I've been on here. At least, I know it's been over 30 minutes, but let me close with this real quick. Right now, think about this, guys. I want you to think about this before we close, and then we're going to pray. Churches, gatherings, have been forced to no longer gather together and assemble together physically. That's how we were getting the gospel out in our communities, in our cities, was the gathering together in communities, in churches, in various locations. Some places have way more churches than others, so it varies. And then there's a lot of services that ministered like this one, that this is our bread and butter. This is how we conduct our services, is through online media, reaching into homes, reaching people and unreached people that we could never reach in a brick and mortar location. Again, I've always said this, a brick and mortar building is not the church. We, the people, we are the ecclesia. We are the church. But don't miss what I'm trying to say. We are now seeing the forced shutdown of the physical gathering together of believers in communities to reach people with the gospel. So now it has forced all believers, pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, apostles. It's forced ministries to now use the internet and social media as a vehicle or a method to reach around the world. Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. But I can't help, and I know some of you all feel the same, so I know I'm not alone on this, but I can't help but to wonder, how long will we have on these platforms? I want to slow it down right here real quick, and I want you to think for a minute with me. They know, everybody knows now, that churches are now using Facebook and Periscope, which is Twitter. They're using Instagram. They're using YouTube. They're using podcast. They're using these methods to reach people. This is the platform for their voice. So I do not think it will be unusual if we start seeing the internet slow. They're already saying that the internet could buckle. The internet could slowly shut down. It could be crippled because so many people are getting on the internet. They're having to downgrade it. It's buffering and slowing everything down because the infrastructure can't hold up. I would not be surprised. And it was interesting. I will not mention names, but there was a certain well-known social media outlet that consequently began to delete videos from its platform. Videos were completely wiped out for a space of time. Posts that had certain key phrases in it and terms were mysteriously and consequently removed, or they were censored, or they were shadow banned, or they were removed for violating community standards. But it was a glitch in the system. It was simply a glitch. Now I want you to think about this. Satan is called in the Word of God the prince of the power of the air. In other words, God has given him a limited ability to control the airwaves. If you don't believe that, look at what's predominantly coming over your television. Look what's predominantly coming over the radio industry. Look what's predominantly coming over satellite television, the internet. It's predominantly filth and violence and wickedness and vulgarity and just it's satanic in origin. Again, there's good things that come over the satellite. There's good things that come over the television. There's good things that come over the radio. And there's good things that come over the internet. I'm not saying it's all evil and that we should wipe it all out. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is don't be surprised if consequently certain voices start disappearing off platforms, certain messages, certain sermons with key phrases. Now, some may be permitted, but others won't. And this is why I know for us as our ministry, we have been warning and warning and warning to tell all of our Facebook viewers, do not rely on this platform to catch our headlines and to listen to what we have to say and this and that, because there's coming a day that it's not going to always be on here. So again, I want to pray, and I want to leave you with this. Here's the good news, guys. If you go to the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar saw these final empires. It was a dream that was given to him. Daniel interpreted it, and he saw these empires. And listen, I have my own interpretation of these. Everybody's got, I mean, you could probably at least find, you can find 30 different interpretations of who these empires were. But I believe the head of gold was Babylon. The chest and arms of silver was Media Persia. The thighs of brass was Greece. or the belly of, was Greece. The legs of iron were the Roman Empire that split east and west, Rome and Turkey. And then you have the toes made up of iron and clay. And I believe every one of these represented a certain empire. And you go to the Revelation chapter 17, verses 10 and 12. John the Revelator says, there are also seven kings. Five have fallen. Now, who are these that have fallen? I just read who they are. Babylon, the Medes and Persians, the Grecians, the Roman Empire. And you had this, Egypt, Babylon, Medes and Persians, the Grecians, the Roman Empire. All these have fallen. And he says, they all fell, but he says one is. So let me slow down and read this again. There's also seven kings, five have fallen, one is. The one that is, that was in his day, was Rome. Rome was the empire of his day, so that's the one is. And the other, which is the kingdom of the beast, has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. And I'm going to tell you how long that time is. It's 3.5 months or 42 months that this eighth and final empire will rule. Listen to this. The beast that was, now hold on here. How can it be was and is not? In other words, it was, but then it seemed like it was wiped out, is himself also the eighth and is of the seventh. Because here it is, guys. Listen to what he says. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not received no kingdom as yet. Those 10 kings are the 10 toes. But it says, but they will receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So these 10, listen, watch. This is how close we're getting to this thing. There's going to come a time 10 kings will come into power, and then those 10 kings have to come in power first. And then the Antichrist rises up as the little horn among them. And then in Revelation, it says those 10 kings will give their power over to the beast when he comes into power. But this kingdom of the beast, Daniel saw seven empires of prophecy. John saw eight. John saw the eighth and final empire. I believe the beast that which was, is not, and is to come, I believe that it's an empire that took a mortal wound to the head of one of its heads. Read it. It's in the book of Revelation. It doesn't say head. It's not the head on somebody's shoulders. This makes good for Christian television and Christian movies and novels like Left Behind. But the Antichrist is not going to be shot in the head and raised from the dead. Read it in your Bible in the book of Revelation. It says he takes a mortal wound to one of his heads, plural. Heads, the word heads there in Greek, it means one of his empires. One of these empires will take a mortal wound. It will look like it's dead, but it will be raised up again. And I believe, from everything I've studied, I believe this empire that will raise up once again in the last days is what was called the Babylonian Empire, which consisted of, you ready? Iran, Syria, and Lebanon. And it will make up of this ancient Babylonian empire. And by the way, out of that empire will come the Antichrist. Why do you think the Bible uses terms in the Bible to describe the Antichrist? It calls him the Assyrian. It calls him the Babylonian. It calls him the King of Babylon. It calls him the Prince who is to come. All these veiled terms tell you the Antichrist is coming out of the Middle East. He's not coming out. I hate to burst your bubble for all the Trump haters. He's not Donald Trump. He's not Barack Obama. He's not Bill Clinton. He's not Prince Harry. He's not all these goofy people that try to make him be. He stick to the word of God. He's coming out of the Mideast. Now I got to leave you with some good news. Daniel 2, 44 through 46. It says, in the days of these kings, in the day. So when you see these kings come to power, the Antichrist begins to rise. It says, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall be broke. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. Let me read up here. I want to put this on here. It says, Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, verse 34 of Daniel 2:34. He says, you watched while a stone was cut out without hands. Come on, somebody. He is the chief cornerstone, which struck this stone that was cut without hands, struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. And the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. I'm going to tell you who that stone is. Come on. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And friends, when he comes out of heaven riding on a white horse, he's coming to set up his kingdom, which there'll be no end. I'm trying to tell you, friends, that we are getting closer to the time of the end. We're getting closer to the time of fulfillment of all things. Jesus said in Luke 21:28, when you begin to see these things coming to pass in the earth, look up, lift up your head. Why? Because he's coming out of heaven riding on a white horse. He's going to blow the trumpet from heaven when he calls up his church. I believe, and according to the book of Thessalonians, that we who are the restrainer will be taken out of the way, and then the man of perdition, then the son of perdition will be revealed, whom the Lord shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I'm trying to tell you, friends, that I believe that what we're seeing right now is a prophetic parallel. I don't know what the world and the civilization is going to look like when this thing ends. When this thing, I don't know if it's going to be 150 days. I don't know if it's going to be 364 days. I don't know how long it's going to be, but I can tell you this based on the prophetic pattern of what I showed you right here. When this thing dries up, when this thing ends, when it comes to a close, when it dissipates, when it lifts, and we come out of quarantine, we come out of lockdown, we come out of the shelter in place, when we try to get back to normal, and whatever that looks like, I'm telling you, I believe it's going to be a different world. It's not going to look the same. It's not going to operate the same. And listen, if we're not headlong into this thing that we've read about for thousands of years, then my friends, it is even near, even at the door. So this is not a time to play around. This is a time to get right with the Lord. So this is my prayer today. I want to pray with you right now. If you're away from God, if you've never given your heart to the Lord, I want you to make that decision with me right now. Say, Father, I ask that you'd forgive me. I ask that you'd cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I ask that you would come in my heart, live in my heart through the Holy Spirit, and wash me of my sins. Lord, teach me through your word how to live for you from this day forward. I turn from all my sins. I turn from all that I want to do and my desires, and I give my heart to you, and I ask that you use me and you do your will through my life. And listen, if you're backslid right now, you already know what you need to do. You need to repent. You need to get right with the Lord, because now and today is a day unto salvation. And I pray you back into the kingdom of God. I pray you back right with the Lord right now in Jesus' name. I implore you to do this, because the days are getting shorter. The night is getting shorter. The time is at hand. And it's closer than we've ever seen before. The terminology is coming from world leaders. The draconian measures that are being implemented. The foreshadowing of a new world order. A global currency, some kind of a governance system in which you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade without surrendering to what this system and this empire is going to look like. It's all coming down the pike, guys. And now is the time, like never before, to get ready or get left behind in Jesus' name. So, Father, I just pray for every individual today that's heard this message. I pray that people got right today. I pray that people rededicated their heart today. I pray that you would bless us today, God. Help us to sustain and preserve us through this time. We don't know how long it is. Lord, just like you did with Noah, Lord, he was in that ark for months. They were in that ark, and you preserved them. You kept them, and your word says that you remembered them. You remembered your covenant with your people. And God, you remember your people. You remember those that are watching. You remember those that are listening. And you know those who have a covenant with your name. Those who have a covenant in your name. Those who have a covenant with you. Those and their families they represent. God, I thank you that you're no respecter of persons. And if you did it for Noah, you did it for Lot, you did it through the patterns of the Old Testament, God, I thank you that you're well able to preserve, protect, and keep those who have entrusted their lives unto you for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. Listen, we love you. And we appreciate you taking the time out to come on here today. I believe one of my brothers, and I'm not going to call him out on here because I don't want to put the spotlight on him on this broadcast. But guys, I just had a conversation today with a dear, I call him a brother from another mother today, and he's on the broadcast. But he shared with me today a prophetic vision or a dream. I'm sorry, he had a prophetic dream that he had years ago. And he remembered, he said, it was so clear and such clarity, I didn't even have to write it down in my journal. And he shared this with me today. And we were both sitting there on the phone together and our hair was standing up. And I'm telling you, everything he saw in that dream is coming to pass. Breakneck speed. Things that I've seen that I could sit here. Maybe we'll do a whole segment this week and we'll talk about prophetic dreams. If you guys want to do that, we can do that. We can talk about prophetic dreams. I can share some dreams I've had with you. Maybe I can share his dream without mentioning him by name. And we could spend a whole segment and talk about that. But I believe things that people have seen through dreams and visions, I believe that it's starting to hit a pinnacle and it's all coming to pass. And we're seeing this stuff happening right now. So we love you guys. God bless you. We will see you either tomorrow or Wednesday. We're going to come back on here and we'll see you a couple more times this week. And again, stay safe, stay blessed. And listen, guys, I'm praying a prayer of protection, Psalm 91, over you and your household. And I pray that no plague shall come nigh our dwelling in Jesus' name. God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.